Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lesbian Mommies Radio. I'm your host, Elizabeth Kaliba. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I am talking to a really amazing woman named Tammy Chang of The Nourished Belly. We are going to be talking about the best diet for fertility and pregnancy. Super excited to finally be doing this show. I've been wanting to do this show for a long time, so very excited to get Tammy on the show to talk about all these things. It's funny because I've known Tammy for several years and I didn't know until recently that this is what she did. So super excited to be diving into this topic with her. Okay, a couple of announcements before we get started. First off, I'm just going to get real with you ladies. I am running out of topics for this show. I'm just having some troubles. I have a few ideas and I'm trying to track people down, but really, I would love some ideas and suggestions. So if any of you have some topics you want to hear or you know of people that would be amazing guests, please let me know. You can email me at elizabeth@lesbymommies.com. So definitely do that. That would be awesome. So as you've noticed, it's been like 3 weeks since my last show. I've just kind of been slowing down here. So any help would be appreciated. Let's see. Find us online, lesbymommies.com. We're on Facebook, Lesbian Mommies Radio. I'm on Twitter at Lesbian Moms Radio if you want to check me out there. And all of our past shows are on iTunes, Stitcher, and Blog Talk Radio. So let's get to the show. Let me introduce Tammy Chang. Tammy Chang is a Bowman College certified nutritional consultant and transformational coaching method certified coach who gives nutrition classes, workshops, and food demonstrations. She coaches clients individually around the Bay Area and virtually throughout the United States to be their very best selves through diet, lifestyle, and breaking through limited beliefs. Believing in the importance of a connection with food, Tammy spent extensive time learning about our current food system by working at the Huasna Valley Farm, an organic farm located in the Central Coast of California. She is also a graduate of the Three Stone Hearth Apprentice Program. Three Stone Hearth is a kitchen located in Berkeley that prepares food according to the nutritional philosophy of Weston A. Price, a philosophy that believes in the nourishment of traditional diets. Her coaching is not only based on food and diet, but also on the transformational coaching method based in the techniques of neuro-linguistic programming. She is a certified TCM coach, and with her clients, she uses these techniques to break through stuck patterns and get at the very heart of limiting beliefs. Tammy received a BA in public policy from Duke University, and as a New York City teaching fellow, received her master's in childhood education from Brooklyn College. She is co-founder of Common Seed Nutrition, a group of nutrition consultants dedicated to making nutrition education accessible to everyone. Aside from working in the field of nutrition, Tammy also teaches capoeira, a Brazilian martial art, to kids and adults in the East San Francisco Bay. Tammy, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry, I was like trying to be super quiet. I was just finishing making hummus. So that was what you were hearing. I'm sorry. Hi, thank you so much for having me on the show, Elizabeth. I'm super, super excited to be here.
Yay. Well, I'm happy to have you. So my first question for everyone is always, what got you into this work? Because I know there's usually an interesting story behind it. So what's your story?
I was always, food has always been a little bit of a interesting topic for me, particularly because when I was much younger, I definitely had body image issues, and I definitely was addicted to sugar. And when I think about what I ate when I was little, like, it's pretty horrifying, particularly because, you know, my family is Taiwanese, and so growing up, my mom cooked really amazing food, but the stuff that we were exposed to coming to the States, like, I think we had Wonder Bread, and I remember, like, Wonder Bread and Cool Whip being a snack that I would eat. And my parents came and they just discovered all this weird food in the States. So it was like we had M&Ms, and one thing we didn't have were sugary cereals, but I was still eating a lot of like Chex and Corn Flakes and that type of stuff. And I think that what we were told when we were little, or when you know, in the 80s and 90s about what was healthy was just really carb heavy. And I was a swimmer, so I used to eat a lot of that type of food. And I definitely, the way my body is, I would just gain weight easily. And so I had a lot of kind of issues with food. And then when I was in my early 20s, right after I graduated from college, I actually saw a friend of mine who was a health coach. And after seeing her, I started cooking, and then I just started being fascinated by nutrition. And as I started learning more and more, I got more interested in food. And the state of our food in the U.S. is pretty atrocious in terms of, you know, the feedlots and the way animals are treated and the way meat is processed, conventional meats are processed, and conventional fruits and vegetables are grown in terms of all the impacts to the health environment and the environment. It's pretty shocking when you start reading about it, especially after having no idea. So once I started reading about it, I got pretty enamored with this whole idea of eating clean food and knowing where our food comes from. So that started me on this journey of actually driving across country. After I used to be a teacher, so I decided to change careers, but I didn't know into what exactly. So when I quit teaching, I drove across the country with a couple of girlfriends, and we started stopping at people's houses, and I realized that there was kind of this revolution happening with food. People were growing their own gardens. They're growing a lot of their food, at least the friends that we were stopping and seeing. And it was really awesome to me. We like listened to Michael Pollan's Omnivore's Dilemma like in the car along the way. This was maybe like, you know, six or seven years ago. And as we're driving through like Nebraska and like corn country, we're like hearing about all of the corn subsidies and everything that is kind of making our food system function the way it does. And it's really shocking. And then as I started to look into my own food and what I was eating, and I started working on farms and eventually going to nutrition school, I started making all these connections to my own health and what I was eating. So, you know, I would in the past have problems with candida, like I had maybe yeast infection, and I didn't realize that it was all related to eating sugar and having that be the cause. And then also I would get bloated often and have like huge pregnant belly after, you know, eating I don't know what for the day. And I never made the connection that it had anything to do with gluten until I went to school and realized that it was a gluten sensitivity. And as soon as I started cutting things out of my diet, my health started improving. My skin started clearing. That was another thing. I was still prone to breaking out, like in my early 30s. And again, it wasn't until I started really cleaning up the diet that I really see the connection through just how I felt with what I was eating. So for me, you know, the journey of really feeling comfortable in the kitchen and exploring food and eating really good food and having access. I mean, I live in the Bay Area, and we just have access to so much produce. Really feeling blessed that I can explore all that and seeing what a difference it makes really makes me excited to be able to teach others to create that awareness for themselves and also to really look at their own life in terms of not just your food, but everything else. So that's how I got into it and why I like it, yeah.
Awesome. And just hearing that just made me more excited to be having you be the one doing this show because I'm just so aligned with everything you said. Really resonated with me. So yay, thank you.
Awesome.
All right, so let's get into this. So we're here to talk about pregnancy and fertility and mm-hmm. nutrition. And like you said, there's a lot of things that nutrition impacts that you wouldn't even think. Like you didn't think about your bloated belly or you didn't think about your skin or, you know, for me it was just being really gassy. Like until I cut out gluten, I was just like, man, am I supposed to toot this much? This is not cool.
Totally.
When you when you work in an office environment, it just doesn't work. And so there's all these little things that happen, you know, when you start changing your diet. So mm-hmm. you know, pregnancy is obviously a really big deal. You're talking about creating a new life.
Totally.
Literally.
Totally.
So nutrition's obviously a big thing. But then, you know, in mainstream culture, you wouldn't think so, because what happens? You go to your doctor and they say you better take a prenatal, right? That's kind of
mm-hmm.
what they tell you. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, why? Like, why isn't that good enough? I mean, does it really matter? Can we just take a prenatal vitamin and call it good?
So there's been studies out recently just even about the effectiveness of vitamins. And the jury's really out whether or not taking supplements is even effective. Part of that is because we don't actually know all of the different compounds that exist in whole foods, so that when we're taking something, we're not even sure if it's absorbable. There are definitely companies out there that create supplements from whole foods, and we can get into that a little bit later. But when you think about what you can do for your health, nutrition is pretty much the foundation. If you didn't do anything else, like if you were like, you know, bedridden, the most important thing you could do was eat, because what you eat becomes you, it becomes your cells. So if you're not eating cleanly, then you're not creating a clean and functioning body. So when you're eating anything you want, you're also, whatever that food is, those cells, those molecules of those foods are becoming what is making you run. And we're really, really complex machines. And if fertility is just another indicator of overall health, I mean, there's definitely a lot of other aspects to it that it's hormonal, and you can, maybe you'll be eating really great and your hormones still might be off, in which case, you know, it's better to go to see a naturopathic doctor, have your hormones tested, really understand, you know, if you're estrogen dominant or progesterone, which one you need more of to kind of balance yourself out. That's also something to think about too. But for food, just taking a vitamin and not taking into consideration what else you're putting in your body, one, you don't even know if you're able to absorb those nutrients from that vitamin, and two, you're also putting into your body a whole bunch of other stuff that is probably hindering your health and also depleting you, actually, because it's not giving you, your body still has to function, and it only functions with adequate, you know, obviously adequate food, water, sleep, all those things. So if you're not doing that for yourself, then you're actually running on a deficit. So you're depleting, and that just creates the perfect storm for disease to set in. And especially fertility, if you want to be fertile, even the word fertile, right? It's like it just brings to mind nutrients and the ability for things to grow. But if you're running at a deficit, you're really not going to be able to grow anything.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, like what you just said about fertility. It's like you even think about a plant that's not, you know, if its soil is not very nutrient-dense, the plant just doesn't look good. It doesn't grow very
Definitely.
Big. It's yellow, not instead of a deep green. Like you see it everywhere, so it completely makes sense. And I think it's hard because I don't know if I think we don't seem to put it all together. I mean, like you had said, with your skin and me with my gas, it's like you don't necessarily put all those things together as diet. And we go to the doctor and they'll give us a drug for that. And, you know, nobody tells you, well, let's look at your diet, or at least in the mainstream kind of way. So,
no,
I mean,
definitely.
It's just a good change of perspective to really get that nutrition is the foundation of your health. It's not everything, but it's the foundation, and it all starts there. So
mm-hmm.
When you're making a baby, it's a good thing to start thinking about. So
totally.
That kind of brings to my next question, which is the standard American diet, the sad,
sad diet.
So sad. And we also are hearing about increases in infertility rates, and I'm wondering if you think there is a link, or at least a significant link, between our diets and our increase in infertility rates in this country.
For sure. I mean, again, fertility is just another indicator of general health. So, and, you know, there are other factors too, the fact that we're having kids later and things like that. But if we are maintaining our health, then even though we're waiting longer to have kids, it shouldn't really have that much of an impact if we're taking care of ourselves. And with the standard American diet, I love that, again, that you're pointing out that it's, the acronym for that is SAD. There's a lot of toxicity that we're taking in with processed foods. There's so many food additives and so many, we don't even know what is in the food. There's things like natural flavors that we actually don't know what that could be. There's a lot of unknowns that we're ingesting. And when we're eating conventional fruits and vegetables, the herbicide Roundups, there's a lot of controversy around genetically modified organisms and using herbicides and pesticides and whether or not they're good for our health. But from the studies I've read, it's like, why take the risk? There's been no long-term studies done on the safety of genetically modified foods. And there's studies coming out now about a chemical in Roundup called glyphosate that is really harmful to our own gut bacteria, and gut bacteria is a whole nother thing. There's so many different tangents I can go on, right?
Yeah, totally.
But it's because, you know, that's indicative. The fact that I can talk about so many different topics is indicative of the way that we're eating now is pretty devastating, that it has so many multiple impacts. So, for sure, the way that we're eating now is definitely impacting our health and our fertility. And also something that's important to bring up as well is that food is the foundation, nutrition is the foundation, but other parts of our lives are equally as important. You know, stress is a huge piece of fertility as well and overall health. And the way we live our lives, we're constantly working, we don't take the time to cook for ourselves, we don't take the time to sleep, that can be a big hindrance. Even sleep itself, the fact that we have so many artificial lights can kind of screw up our ovulation. So even just sleeping in a really dark room can be really helpful to kind of kickstart your natural body processes again. So standard American lifestyle, I would also say. I wish there was SAL. It's not a really good acronym. But, the lifestyle that we live, which diet is definitely a part of, but we can't just look at that, because you could be eating amazing. You could be eating the cleanest diet in the world, but if you're running yourself ragged, if you're not sleeping, if you're super stressed, then you're also not going to be fertile. And you're not going to be in good health. So food is, you know, definitely the component that I look at first, but it's not just that, it's everything else as well.
No, it's such a good point. The standard American lifestyle is incredible when you really think about it. Just our exposure to plastics and just to chemicals and carpet and the crappy furniture
definitely.
We get everywhere. And I mean, there's just fumes from everything. I mean, there's fluoride in fluoride and chlorine in our water. There's, you know, who knows what in our air. It's just like we're toxically overloaded. So,
totally.
Good point. So getting into specifics on diet, I wanted to start with just your overall philosophy. You mentioned in your bio, you talked about Weston A. Price, which is a philosophy I subscribe to as well. And I don't know if you've heard of Sean Croxton and Underground Wellness.
Yeah.
Amazing
yeah,
podcast.
Sure.
But he talks about jerking, right? Just eat real food. which is just so great. It's just that simple. But get into a little bit about your nutritional philosophy.
So I definitely am very much influenced by Weston A. Price. Simply, and I don't know if your listeners kind of know his story.
It would be great for you to,
Yeah, he was a dentist in the turn of the century from Ohio, and he was finding out that people just, that were coming to him, they were having horrible cavities and horrible overcrowding and, you know, overbites and all these weird things with their face in terms of bone structure. And he had heard that there were societies out there that had really great teeth. And so him and his wife kind of went on this trek and all around the world and went to basically study these isolated villages and towns that really didn't have a lot of outside influence. So basically they were kind of eating the way they had been eating for many, many years. And what he found was basically he went and took pictures of people's teeth. And he found that there was pretty much no cavities. They had beautiful arches. They had really symmetrical faces. And they just, even some of them didn't brush their teeth. And you would kind of like scrape off the slime that was there and reveal like these perfect teeth. What he did was he studied the commonalities between these different societies. And he really decided that it wasn't hygiene. It wasn't how much you brushed your teeth. It was really what you were eating. And there were some commonalities between the different societies that he looked at, and some, you know, nutrient density was a big one. Organ meats was another big one. So like eating organs. Organs are really extremely nutrient dense. That's something else that we'll talk about. And even to a point where, you know, societies, they would maybe throw out the lean meat and just save the fat and the organs and the bones. The balance between omega-3s and omega-6s was really balanced. Fatty acid balance, that's something else that we'll talk about too. And fermenting their foods, soaking their grains, things like that. So today there's kind of a Weston A. Price Foundation that is based on a lot of these philosophies where they talk about soaking grains, they eat a lot of fermented foods, they drink raw milk, they do a lot of bone broth. Bone broth is something that I know you are really into. And again, really just focusing on clean and organic. And something that's worth noting is that when he would go into these societies, he would also track villagers or track people that lived in the town who had moved to bigger cities and started consuming, you know, the traditional Western foodstuffs like sugar and refined flour. And then he would take pictures of their teeth, and there was a marked difference between the structure of people's faces. He would notice that there was more overcrowding of the teeth. He would notice that, you know, the bridge of the nose was more narrow. So not just, you know, not just the teeth, but also the bone structure as well. And so that's something to think about, too, when you're talking about pregnancy and eating well while you're pregnant, because you're actually creating the bone structure of the fetus. So really making sure that your diet is on point is pretty paramount to the health of your child, for sure.
Absolutely.
So that's Weston A. Price, and I fall in line with a lot of what he talks about. But I love Sean Croxton and his whole JERF thing, because it really is just about eating real food. There are a lot of fad diets out there. I was just at a conference aimed at doctors recently, and the guy before me was advocating a very specific diet that worked really well for him. It was all whole foods, but it was really narrow, And I think that we have to be careful, you know, giving people specifications, because it's not all whole foods are going to work for everyone. So what I really believe in is taking out processed foods, really cutting back on sugar, and just focusing on seasonal, local foods, and also really understanding which foods work well for you. Because, like, for me, you know, I'm Asian American. There's, like, 90% of us that are lactose intolerant. So I definitely cheat a little bit, and I have some cheese and I have some cream once in a while, but I can't eat a lot of it. So you have to really understand that certain foods are not going to work well for you. And there's a million and one theories on which foods work for different blood types and body types and all that kind of thing. And, you know, you can read that stuff. That stuff is interesting. But what's going to tell you, what I really believe in, is your body's going to know. Our bodies are super intuitive and super intelligent. If you're eating something that doesn't work for you, you're not going to feel good after it. You're going to feel tired. You're going to feel bloated. You're going to feel foggy. You're not going to be able to focus. But if you eat something that your body really, really digs and loves, you're going to feel amazing after you eat. You're going to feel energized. You're going to be like, yes, let's do this. And it's going to be sustained. It's not going to be like this, like, extreme high and you're going to crash. So it's a whole, I really believe in eating whole foods. And then there's the other aspect of figuring out which foods really work for you. And then the whole Weston A price aspect of it is, you know, really cooking things and making things in a way that make nutrients available. So that's the other.
Nice.
The other, yeah.
No, it's great. And I love what you said just about, you know, customizing your diet for you and what works for you and really paying attention to your body. I think that's some work I still need to do is being more mindful of some things. Because I think, I mean, I have a very clean diet, but there are some things that trigger me and I haven't figured out what they are yet. And there's a lack of awareness there. I'm not paying close enough attention than I could. Like there could be some increased awareness. So anyway, thanks for that personally.
Yeah.
So let's get into as far as specifics for a woman that's looking to conceive. What are some of the key nutrients that you think are important? What foods are good at providing those nutrients?
Totally. So what I like about, you know, giving a talk just about, like, fertility and pregnancy, you're talking about, because we're really also talking about general health too. And then, of course, there are some specific nutrients that they found to be implicated in fertility. But one of my nutrition teachers said, her name is Laura Knopf, she's awesome. She said that you need everything all the time. So it's not about, it's dangerous to kind of single out certain nutrients, because we really do need it all. And the way we get it all is by eating a variety of foods and making sure that things are colorful and clean and delicious, too. We can't forget about that. So with that, you know, we need everything all the time. But for fertility, there are some nutrients that have kind of been signaled out to help with fertility, and some of that vitamin A has been found to be really important. And something about vitamin A, you can really only get true vitamin A from animal foods. You can get some precursors from vegetables, fruits and vegetables like carrots and dark leafy greens. They have carotenes in them. Beta carotene is probably like the most popular one. And our body can convert that into vitamin A. But with conversions, anytime we have to convert something, we have to also make sure we're, like, super healthy, because not everybody has the ability to convert, and it's always, like, varying degrees. So liver is really rich in vitamin A. That's something that we can be eating. And, again, whenever I'm kind of suggesting any food, quality is really important. So, like, really making sure that you're getting pasture-raised, grass-fed, at the very least organic, especially when it comes to meat and animal products, simply because so many toxins love to hang out in fats. So it's really the only safe place for toxins to kind of live in animal bodies, including our own. So whenever you're getting something that has a lot of fat, we want to make sure that it's as clean as possible. So whenever I'm suggesting foods, especially for fertility too, we want to make sure we're eating as clean as possible, so organic, pasture-raised. So vitamin A, liver, again, like the carrots, dark leafy greens, sweet potatoes, those are going to have the precursors to vitamin A. Those are really great. And also vitamin A is also a fat-soluble vitamin. So when we are trying to make that conversion with, you know, eating carrots or dark leafy greens, you want to make sure that you're eating it with a little bit of fat, because that will also help with absorption. B vitamins are really important. Whole grains are a really great source of B vitamins. And vitamin B6 is also really great. Nutritional yeast, if that's something that you're not familiar with. From Bowman College, we call nutritional yeast a booster food. So any type of food that is a booster is a really nutrient-dense food that will actually, you can add it to whatever you're eating, and that will boost the nutrition of whatever food you decide to, or whatever meal you're eating. So nutritional yeast, a lot of people kind of think that it's pretty cheesy. So they'll maybe add it to soups, they'll add it to potatoes. A lot of people like to add it to popcorn after they pop their own, of course, just as an extra flavoring. Although those with candida, if you have some issues with candida, it's kind of better to stay away from any kind of yeast foods. But nutritional yeast is a really great source of B vitamins. Sunflower seeds is also a great source of vitamin E, which is also really great for fertility. And nuts and seeds are also great for those too. Folate is another nutrient that's really important. And again, there's a lot of stuff out there about folic acid versus folate. If you're going to supplement, I think it's better to look for something that has folate in it, and then also, again, try to get folate from foods. And it's pretty much the same foods that kind of keep coming up that are great for this: nutritional yeast, beans, liver, and nuts. Those are all great sources. Vitamin C is a really great antioxidant, and it seems to help with egg maturation. Although something that we'll also discuss is that, you know, around the time of ovulation, you really also want to have nice cervical fluid building up, and too much vitamin C around that time can dry it up a little bit. So if you're doing vitamin C supplementation, you might want to do it more around your period so that you're not drying up that cervical fluid. And any vitamin C, any kind of like colorful vegetable is going to be a really good sign of vitamin C. Even more, I mean, we're so used to thinking that oranges are great for vitamin C, and yes, they're fine for it, but you don't need to be like eating gobs of vitamin C. Like a raw red bell pepper is super, super high. It's more than an orange. Dark leafy greens, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, strawberries, all of those have adequate amounts of vitamin C. Calcium is also another mineral that's important. And with calcium, again, you don't have to be like drinking gobs of dairy. That's another kind of like mismarketed food. I mean, yes, dairy obviously has some calcium, and there's a lot of other great things that can be present in high-quality dairy products. But you don't need to just drink dairy. I talk to so many clients that are like, oh, but I need to drink milk to get my calcium, and that's not entirely true. There's plenty of other foods that you can have. Bone broth is a really great source because, you know, you're taking the minerals from the animal bones and you're putting it into the broth and you're drinking the broth. So bone broth is an excellent way to increase your minerals in general. And I think another really important thing to talk about is fatty acids. So just in general, for women to kind of help regulate their menstrual cycle, to kind of make sure that they're ovulating, fatty acids are a really large key of this. And we talked a little bit about before how Weston A. Price discovered that there is this balance between omega-3s and omega-6s in the societies that he studied. And there is, we want a balanced ratio. And in general, in the standard American diet, in the SAD diet, there is a really high proportion of omega-6 as compared to omega-3. If you haven't heard about omega-6s and omega-3s before, omega-6s are primarily found in vegetable oils, which most processed foods are made with vegetable oils. And they are more inflammatory. There's two pathways that omega-6s can take in the body, and certain types of omega-6 fatty acids can be anti-inflammatory. They can be helpful. Borage oil, evening primrose oil, these are all examples of omega-6s that are actually helpful or anti-inflammatory. And then there's a pathway that can create more arachidonic acid, and that is inflammatory. And those are vegetable oils. Those are conventional meats, like meats that are raised in feedlots. They tend to have a higher omega-6 profile. Same thing with you know, conventionally raised chickens. So we really want to cut down on some of the omega-6s and increase the amount of omega-3s that we're eating. You can do that by supplementing with a really high-quality fish oil. I'm sure we'll kind of be repeating some of this information, but, you know, by getting Carlson's is a really good brand, Nordic Naturals. I like Green Pastures. They do a fermented cod liver oil that's really Weston A. Price friendly. So taking a fish oil supplement or taking some flaxseed oil, both of those should be kept in the refrigerator. They're really delicate oils. So you want to use them quickly. You don't want to like have them hanging around for a long time because they can become rancid or they can spoil basically. So the fatty acid balance is really important, and just ways in the diet to kind of naturally increase omega-3s. That's, you know, eating more fish. You know, if you're worried about mercury, which again is a whole other thing that can be debated, but then go for the smaller fish. Like sardines are a really great option. Canned sardines, I recommend that a lot to my clients. Wild Planet is a really popular brand out there that's sustainable. And salmon, again, you can, canned salmon is also a really great option, wild Alaskan canned salmon. So really making sure that you're getting your fatty acid balance is important. So those are kind of the main nutrients that are great for fertility, but also to stress, and it's going to come up again, but stress is a really important factor as well. Even just learning relaxation techniques can help with fertility. And then another aspect is supporting your liver. Liver is really important for hormonal balance. Estrogen is sometimes processed through the liver. So when you want to support the liver, that's with, you know, certain foods can be really supportive, and that's, you know, drinking dandelion root tea. Beets are great. Garlic and onions are great because of the sulfur component. It helps with detoxification. Also cruciferous vegetables meaning Brussels sprouts, kale, collards, cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower. All of these cruciferous, also called brassicas, they have detoxifying compounds in them, or that they help with detoxification. So having a really healthy liver is also an important part. Yeah, some teas that are great are nettles and red raspberry. Nettles are really extremely nutrient dense. Red raspberry is really popular as like a uterine tonic, like really it tones the uterus. So those are really two popular ones. If you ever want a great book, Susan Weed is a great herbalist. She has a lot of books. One of her books is Wise Women Herbal for the Childbearing Year, and she has a lot of suggestions for herbs that you can take. It's a really great book. And this is also important to note, if you have your partner or you know who the donor is, it's also really good to suggest that they also clean up their diet too, because it's not just a woman, it could also be the man. Really making sure that he's getting a lot of zinc, all of his minerals, have him drink some bone broth, have him eat some oysters. Oysters are really great. They're like the highest food source of zinc that you could possibly have. So really just getting him on board to start cleaning up his diet as well can be helpful.
Good tips. That was a lot of info. I took a bunch of notes there. And I'll post some of that on the show notes for people, too. Great. So now, what do you suggest a woman take out of her diet? So obviously, there's a ton of stuff there that you had suggested we start consuming, which actually doesn't leave room for much more. But are there specific...
Totally.
You had mentioned processed food, but in general. But if there are wondering if there are other specifics you recommend a woman taking out.
Yeah, so... it's important to, you know, if you're thinking that you want to start trying, or it's important to kind of start cleaning up your act as soon as possible, simply because there can be some pretty heavy detoxing symptoms that can happen when you really start cleaning up your diet, and you don't necessarily want to be going through that when you're pregnant. So as soon as you're kind of like, let's do this, really, really make a concerted effort to start cleaning up. So what I like to do with clients first is really focus on, you know, the previous question, like what can we add in? And then you kind of find that certain things that shouldn't be in your diet in the first place tend to fall off. But processed foods are a really big piece, and that's because of the chemicals that they have in them. The sugar is also a really big thing, too. And part of that is we also want to make sure that our weight is stable. That can be also helpful for fertility. If you have too much excess weight, you could also be, you know, our fat cells also produce estrogen, so that could be a possible hormone imbalance there. So, you definitely want to try to start cleaning up, and when you clean up your diet, you naturally take off excess weight for most people, unless there's some hormonal thing going on, or, you know, if you're also taking medication, sometimes that can hinder, that can keep on excess weight. So, and with weight loss, you know, and it is about having really nutrient-dense foods, but it's also about taking away foods that really encourage the storage of weight. And sugar is one of those things. If you listen to Dr. Robert Lustig, he has a really great YouTube video called The Bitter Truth, and he goes into detail about how we metabolize sugar in the body. And pretty much what he says is that, you know, half of it is glucose, which we burn pretty quickly, but then the other half, fructose, which if it sounds familiar, it's because of high fructose corn syrup, or agave. Agave is all fructose. The way we process fructose is through our liver, which, again, healthy liver is important here, is through our liver, and then primarily we will store it as fat afterwards, because that's just the way it goes. We're really have become evolutionarily experts at storing fructose so that we could save it for times when there wasn't enough food. So wanting to keep weight stable is pretty important. So taking out sugar and refined carbs. And carbs, the breads, the cereals, anything that's, I like to call it kind of fluffy. I think maybe that I stole that from Gary Taubes. He's also a really great nutrition researcher, science researcher, science journalist. He has some really great books out there. But fluffy carbs, because those are going to hit our bloodstream relatively quickly and create an insulin response. And insulin is just a storage hormone. It just tells us to store. So, you know, we're trying to kind of get rid of excess weight if we're wanting to become pregnant. And then also just putting in good habits when we're pregnant as well, because putting on too much weight while we're pregnant is also, there's studies coming out now that really show that children can be more inclined to be obese if the mother's diet while she's pregnant and the amount of weight she gains is exorbitant. It can affect that child's genes for whether or not, you know, they're inclined to be obese or not. So really making sure that you're eating cleanly and doing as much as you can to kind of have your body run efficiently is great. Organic is really important. So really trying to take out, I would say, you know, there's definitely a ladder of importance when you're eating organic foods. Animal products is pretty much first in terms of wanting to eat cleanly, because again, there's a lot of toxins that can be stored in animal products. And then there's a lot, again, the studies coming out about the effects of pesticides, especially on children too. But you know, when you're pregnant, as well, there's also, it's something interesting noting too, that, you know, when we ovulate, we need kind of a burst of something called the luteinizing hormone. And there are certain things that will suppress, I'll call it LH. Marijuana is something that can suppress it. And then anything that elevates prolactin, which is a milk-releasing hormone, can also suppress the luteinizing hormone, suppress LH. So certain things that can elevate prolactin are, you know, hallucinogenic drugs, alcohol, aspartame, that's like artificial sweeteners, too much protein, antidepressants, and certain headache medications. So, and this is important to talk with your doctor too, like certain medications can also decrease the amount of cervical fluid that we can have. It can really make us dry. You have to talk to your doctor, but that could also be a factor in, you know, if you're not able to get pregnant, that could be something to look at too. So really cleaning up the diet, and then really basically just trying to not do drugs. It's really helpful. Because again, it's about how clean we can be. And, you know, when you're even, obviously, you know, if you have to take a prescription for something, that's something that's unavoidable, but it's kind of best to stay away from recreational usage if you're trying to get pregnant.
Makes sense. Good stuff. I had to you had mentioned aspartame. Man, that was a huge one. I never put it together, and it was I see this crazy witch doctor. He's a chiropractor, but he healed everything. But one of the things he found was that aspartame was really affecting me, and I was chewing a ton of gum, and I didn't think about it. I love light blue extra. It was my thing. And
totally.
I just, after getting rid of the aspartame, like, I had chronic neck pain for at least a decade, and I cut that out, and he put me on some methylated folate, and I've never had a problem again. It was amazing. So, I mean, you just never know how those things impact you.
Totally.
So talk a little bit about fat. We have talked a little bit about it so far, but I think there is misconceptions about what's a good fat, what's a bad fat. I mean, I know for a long time I thought canola oil was, like, really good for you, and saturated fat was bad for you. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those, like, huge topics that, you know, you could have a podcast just on this. Simply because we've been told for so long to stay away from fat. You know, the whole non-fat craze, low-fat milk, non-fat yogurt, like, there are some things that you actually just can't get full fat with. And we're finding out now, and probably the most recent book to come out about this is The Big Fat Surprise by Nina T. Schultz. I actually have no idea how to pronounce her last name, but it starts with a T. Big Fat Surprise, if you just Google that, it'll come up. And she does a pretty good job of researching the history behind why we decided that fat was bad for us. And it turns out that it didn't really have a lot of merit. And, you know, the scientific studies that were coming out, you know, Ansel Keys is kind of like the father of this. It's called the lipid hypothesis, the fact that saturated fats cause heart disease. He kind of handpicked his data to show that there was a correlation. So for many, many years, we've taken fat out, and instead, because fat is so important, because one, it helps us absorb nutrients, and two, it makes food taste good, we've substituted that with a lot of carbs and a lot of sugar and salt instead. So, and we've also been eating fats that are dangerous for us. You know, the whole trans fat thing kind of came out in the last 20 years, and we're like, oh my gosh, we didn't know that this was actually killing us. So if you're still cooking with vegetable oil, I would stop that immediately, and I would just throw it out or use it for like car grease or something. And the whole saturated fats, you know, saturated fats are the most stable to cook with because of the way the molecule lays. It's a little bit more protected than polyunsaturated fats, which still people still talk about that you should increase your polyunsaturated fats. But I don't necessarily believe that. I think you should have a little bit of everything because fats are, we really love to run on fat. Our brain loves to run on fat. There's certain fats that you should be cooking with, like coconut oil and butter, palm oil. I just saw Trader Joe's is starting to sell palm oil, which has a really distinctive taste. You might not really like it, but it's a very stable oil to cook with. But fats are, you know, we really, really need fats. The fact that we found that there's really no scientific basis and it doesn't cause heart disease, and the fact that we've taken it out of our diet has really been really detrimental for our health. Like we've seen obesity cases just skyrocket in the last 20 years. And that's because we're still staying away from fat and replacing it with a lot of sugar and carbohydrates. So fat is our friend. And, you know, the bad fats, again, those are vegetable oils, those are margarine, these are any fats that you can kind of find in processed foods. And then good fats come from really high-quality animal foods, from fish, from coconuts, from avocados. So really making sure that you are eating plenty of the good and staying away from the bad, you'll be in pretty good shape.
Now, would you include lard as one of the good fats?
Yes. I would include bacon fat. again, you know, quality is key. Again, you want to be eating good quality, but, and fats, they really make things taste good. And they make you satiated. Yeah. They make you feel full when you're not eating fats. Like, you know, I could eat like a whole bag of crackers and not even felt like I ate anything. So, but if I eat, you know, a piece of bacon with, you know, some kale or something, I'll be really satisfied because it triggers my satiety hormone. And that's pretty key.
Yep. I think it's so great that it's finally coming out that fat's not making you fat.
Finally,
it's catching on. So I don't want this show to run too long, so I'm going to just go with a couple more questions. Let's go to the supplements. What do you suggest a woman take supplement-wise, either like before pregnancy, like and when do you kind of recommend she start these before she starts trying And then during pregnancy as well.
I feel like, so in general, for just everyone, I always recommend a fish oil and a probiotic. And again, we want to go high quality. You don't want to just go to Trader Joe's and just get whatever they have, or Costco or something like that. If you go through a practitioner, they sell a lot higher quality ones. Standard Process is a really great supplement company. Thorne, Designs for Health. So there are supplement companies out there that do a lot of testing that make sure that their sources are really high quality. So that's pretty first and foremost when you're looking to do any type of supplementation. I would say 6 months is like a good time beforehand if you're trying to get pregnant to start doing anything, to start cleaning up the diet, start supplementing. And again, like looking at the prenatal vitamins, really just making sure that you're getting a high quality one. And with any of the supplement companies, they do a really good job of making sure that you're hitting the mark on what's recommended for pregnancy. So as long as you are getting from a reputable company, I think you can pretty much, you can kind of ease up on the fact that you're getting the most like bioavailable and most absorbable forms of each nutrient.
Nice. So do you think that the diet or anything needs to change once you're pregnant, or does it pretty much all stay the same?
For me, so there is so much information out there of what you shouldn't be eating while you're pregnant. And I think, you know, some of it has merit, and I don't even know all of it. I think, like, you know, they're really concerned with, like, pasteurizing things, but Weston A. Price is really like, you know, whatever, you don't need to worry. Like, raw milk is great. And so you definitely have to have some, you know, you have to kind of figure out what you want to believe in for yourself. And I definitely don't know everything that's out there that's like, oh, pregnant women shouldn't eat XYZ, but there's a lot. I would say that the most important thing is that you just make sure your diet is as clean as possible. You know, there's all of this, the list out there of, like, what women shouldn't eat. I do think there are some things, actually, that I do want to mention, you know, in terms of things that decrease fertility and also isn't great during pregnancy. Caffeine is something, you know, obviously the drugs, cigarettes, alcohol, recreational drugs, and fluoride is also something, food additives. So all of these things should kind of make sure that they're out of your diet. Dry cleaning chemicals, again, the artificial sweeteners. So all of those things should be out when you're trying to get pregnant, also once you're pregnant, because all of those things can be pretty harmful for the fetus. And then I really think that variety is really important. You don't want to get stuck eating the same thing because, again, we need everything all of the time. And I would say this is true during nursing as well. Really just making sure you're eating clean foods, you're eating colorful foods, making sure that you're eating often when you're nursing to kind of keep your blood sugar up. And if you're vegetarian or vegan, think about, you know, adding in eggs and dairy. Those are a lot of, like, lacto-ovo vegetarians do pretty well. And not that you can't make it being vegetarian or vegan, but it's just you have to be really, really careful that you're kind of getting everything that you need, and especially the fact, you know, you are building something. Just think about it. You know, there are obviously, like, moral reasons why someone won't want to go there. So it's just something to think about. And then staying hydrated is also really key too. We haven't really mentioned that, but that's a really important piece of health as well.
Awesome. Jeez, Tammy. You know a lot. You know a lot. It was awesome. It was so good. I seriously have like 1, 2, 3 solid pages of notes from all of this. Thank you. Now, I want you to share a little bit about what you do. You obviously have a ton of knowledge and know what the heck you're talking about. Share a little bit about your coaching and how you support people in nutrition and
lifestyle.
So
what's really funny is that it's like, you know all this stuff, but it actually doesn't make a difference. Because it's, knowledge is kind of easy to come by. You know, it's just about reading and studying. But what I like about what I do is actually the coaching piece, which is talking to someone, really understanding how they live their life. You know, they do food journals for me. We really talk about when they're going to sleep, what their bowel movements look like, if they're stressed during the day, what their life is like. And then we kind of pretty much analyze whether what they are doing could be different and how we can make a difference. And then the next piece is really about habit building. And I love reading about habits and talking about how we create habits or destroy habits. And that's a big piece of what I do with people. And creating suggestions that can start building a more sustainable lifestyle. So it's sustainable lifestyle, half of it's education of what to eat, and then how do we incorporate that in a slow enough way that it becomes ingrained and it becomes habit so that we don't think about it anymore. And that's what I like about the coaching piece, because you are with, I like to work with people for 6 months. And so that really gives us the time to have some really great breakthroughs where they're like, oh my God, I feel amazing. I started doing this. It really feels good for me to be doing this on a daily basis. And then that also gives us a nice moment of falling off the wagon and kind of like having a really harried moment and shit hitting fan and everything going out the window, but really realizing that it's, you know, this is not, nutrition is not just like a one size fits all and one pill will fix it. It's about really making a concerted effort to change the way you live. And then also realizing that, you know, what happens one day is not going to make or break whatever you're doing. It's just part of the journey. So working with people over a period of time is really, really awesome. I love doing the nutrition piece, but I also love doing, you know, the lifestyle piece too, and really just asking people if they're happy with the way that they live their life, because I definitely believe that we're here to be joyful beings and to eat really well and to play hard and to rest and do what we love. So they're all aspects that I love to encourage other people to do. And it definitely comes through in the work that I do with people as well.
Awesome. I love the whole habit building thing, because it's so true. I mean, not this information is one thing, but to really incorporate it is a whole other thing. And when you deal with the emotional component of food and eating, that's so big,
totally.
Especially for women. And just really doing, you know, the 6 month program to really build new habits. I mean, that's awesome. So super cool.
Thank you.
I was curious about the transformational coaching method and the neuro-linguistic programming. What is that? Can you just say a little bit about that?
Yeah. So neuro-linguistic programming is really kind of a questioning method to kind of get down to what's blocking you. And then TCM was created by two women. I'm totally blanking on on the name right now. But it's kind of a little condensed version of some of the NLP techniques, which really just kind of start with asking people what they want and why they want it. Because there's really not a lot of inquiry sometimes on why we want things and what they're going to get for us when we get them. So sometimes, you know, understanding the want and with food, that can, and with food and weight, that can come to, you know, people want to be a certain weight, but it's like, well, why do you want to be that weight? Was there a time where you're ever really happy with your weight? So when you're dealing with food, sometimes asking certain questions can be really helpful because they start to show you, you know, what it was that created those thought processes in the first place and whether or not those are still valid today. Like, you might still be acting like you're 3 years old because something happened that you decided that things had to be this way, and that's just kind of how you function through life. And then you realize, you know, you're 30 or 40 or 50, and you're like, oh, I'm still functioning in those, according to those beliefs that I created when I was younger. So it's a really interesting, it's very interesting. I myself would love to learn more about NLP because it's pretty fascinating.
Very cool. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for spending the last hour with me sharing all of this information. It's really amazing. You obviously know what the heck you're doing, which is awesome. So tell everyone where they can find you online.
You can go to my website, and it's called thenourishedbelly.com. And you can contact me through there or schedule a session with me. I'd love it.
Awesome. Well, really, thank you so much for taking the time to do the show. Super awesome to talk to you and just to hear everything you have to offer. And, yeah, there's some things I'm going to be taking on as a result of this. So I always
awesome.
Get a ton out of these shows. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you so
yeah.
much. It was so good to connect with you again. I hope to see you in person
yeah.
too.
Totally. You're welcome. And thank you for doing this show. You're creating a avenue for people to learn. So thank you for doing this.
My pleasure. All right. Well, have an amazing week.
All right. Awesome. You too.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that show. As usual, I did. I always love these shows because I learn a ton. Have an amazing week. And yes, if you have any ideas for me on shows, I will take them. I will take them. I will take them. So Elizabeth@lesbemommies.com. All right. Have an amazing week. I love you and catch you next time.